think about the Messi thing?
Anything else on the Messi front, Chris, before we move on?
No, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm falling out. I told you, I never want to bring this guy's name up again.
I don't know, man. This Messi thing is just a freaking mess. What a disaster.
I don't want to hear this name ever again until it's official. But they got me back.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Heron's back. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 179 of the Battered Herons Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir?
179, huh? It sounded like a lot. 179. Just that number, 179. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. We're approaching 200. Coming quick.
Yeah.
We're 2 years. This is our third season, so.
Yes, sir.
Going strong.
Hell yeah. I'm ready, baby. I'm ready to finally play the Red Bulls with like a legitimate team. Like a legitimate starting lineup, no?
To be fair, for those of you that forgot, the Red Bulls were also down like a billion people because it was during that international break. So we can't really say that it was necessarily because of that because they were also shorthanded.
I'm looking forward to playing them with our starting 11. I don't care whether they have their starting 11 or not. That's
You just mean Messi. You just want Messi out there.
I'll take. Okay, that's fine. Granted, right. I'll take a Messi.
That's what it comes down to.
I'll take him. I'll take his son. Whoever wants to wear the number 10 on the field, I'm good with that.
We've come to terms with the fact that if we're playing against MLS competition, Messi does very well. We don't really lose when Messi's playing. If we're playing against MLS competition, Mexican competition, I guess it's different, but. Into Miami, not so much. All right, and Chris is also excited about Saturday because it's his birthday. So there you go.
Yes. Hell yeah, and then he's mentioning it. Miami better win because I'm getting too old for this shit. Had enough of it.
And then real quick, Mr. Krabs. The first things first. The heat season is over. It is officially over, and we'll be on 10 o'clock tonight on the Battered Heat Fans to talk about. I mean, recap the crap that is the season. And before I let Chris go on, because I already see it in his face where he's going with it, let me bring in our special guest to talk Red Bulls before Chris starts talking nonsense. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me back. This is awesome. Congrats on 179 in three seasons. That's tremendous. So keep it going.
Yeah, appreciate that. Awesome. Yeah, we're climbing up there. I didn't think that we would get this high this quickly. Now that I hadn't really thought about it until you pointed it out. We're almost at 200, and we're not even a full three seasons in yet. That's a lot. Yeah.
And Mark, and you guys have been chugging for some time now. We're
in our 15th season covering the Red Bulls.
Yeah, so, I remember that.
We don't record quite as often as you guys do, but we're up in the 570s, but absolutely nice. Keep it going.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And who else is keeping it going?
Three times a week.
Who's that?
The Knicks are still keeping it going, baby.
Knicks are keeping it going. And there the Rangers are keeping it going as well, baby.
Oh, well, Danny likes that.
I should have thrown on my Rangers jersey. That's what I should have done.
I had my Rangers shirt. I should have done that too. But the Knicks are for sure still going.
Danny. I don't know. I just saw Mark as more of a Knicks guy, so I didn't.
Mark's actually more of a Rangers guy than a Knicks guy, but Mark is very excited about the Knicks nonetheless.
No, that's the Knicks.
Yes.
Trying to get away from that Knicks talk, but I couldn't avoid it, I guess. All right. So obviously the first game that we played each other not too long ago, what was it? A little over a month ago.
Yeah,
month and a half ago. It was the worst beating we've taken since Messi's arrival, even though he didn't play. It was 4-0. It was it was an embarrassment, honestly. And if I remember correctly, we were worried about the press, and the Red Bulls did press, but I felt like they were very strategic with their pressing. They played more of a mid block. We didn't have Redondo or Gomez in the midfield, so they played that mid block. They knew that we would turn the ball over, and it turned into counterattacks. And with our slow center backs, we couldn't get back and defend them. And it felt like it was just a foot race. Just every couple of minutes, you guys going down with man advantage, and it was just such a horrible game to watch. But I give them all the credit in the world because instead of full-on pressing all game long like the Red Bulls usually do, I felt like they let the center backs come up a little higher
Yeah.
Just to make sure that they can get that, win that ball in the midfield and get those counterattacks. So beautiful game plan. And that's what I thought. So Mark, we haven't talked to you since that game.
Yeah.
What did you think of that first game?
Yeah, I mean, as we were saying earlier, you guys didn't have your A team, and we didn't have our A team either, right? Emil Forsberg out with Sweden, John Tulkin, Danny Edelman with the U.S. Olympic team, Noah Ayla, who's going to miss this game with a suspension, he was away. So, the thing that we've seen from Sandro Schwartz so far this year is he is a real tactical student. Like, he really understands what it's going to take and where are the points to apply pressure. And you see it picked up in the larger sports media today, talking about, you know, Taylor Twellman and Sasha Kljestan talking earlier today about how, you know, Miami doesn't run because they don't have to run, right? Because they have the ball on a string and they move the ball so well, they don't really have to do a whole lot of running. And for New York to spring counterattacks, which is not usually how they go about finding success. I was at practice today and talked to Sandro, and he was basically saying, we have to make this a physical game and we have to make this game a track meet. Because we know that the kind of the aging legs over there are not necessarily going to want to chase down our attackers over and over and over again. They didn't do it in the 4-0 New York win. Now, obviously, I know it rains there a lot. I don't think we're going to see the same kind of rain that we saw at Red Bull Arena, because that was
– no, if it rains, it won't be like that. No,
you need a boat to get out of there that day. But Busquets was kind of bogged down in the rain a little bit, plus New York's pressure, and so obviously Messi is a different dimension. And Schwartz says that New York's going to come into this game confident. They've already beaten this team 4-0, and they've been playing really well. They've only lost once in 11 games, and they'll feel good about themselves coming in.
Well, and I want to mention
the forecast, by the way. Clear skies.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Thank God, Broward County. I want to mention something, because there's something that you mentioned where you said that it's essentially what they're looking to do is be more physical and push the pace, which is exactly like you mentioned. It's the opposite of what this team currently is doing, where they're playing a little bit better paced in terms of pacing themselves and passing it and being more efficient. Yeah. And then you also have, you want to be physical against these veterans, because they play so smoothly that once you get physical, you start to take a lot more control of the game. So I can definitely see what you mean in terms of that. That has to be something that the team, that the Rebels are looking forward to, you know, implementing.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean dirty. It just means making sure that Miami knows that Red Bulls players are there on the field, that they can literally feel them every time they get the ball. And so I mean, I think Messi's scoring every, 37 minutes of MLS play so far this season. And one of the other things that Schwartz says today was, you know, obvious, a lot of questions about how do you, you know, defend against Messi. And he said, we need to make sure that we're doing a good job on Messi, but he's just one player. And we have to make sure that no one else is going to beat us, right? That Suarez isn't going to beat us. The Taylor isn't going to beat us. So it'll be interesting for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Danny, I was going to mention something, because the one thing that we've always been scared of against the Rebels is their high press, right? And so if you want to keep the ball away from Messi, that's legitimately the easiest way of being able to do that. No, Danny?
That's how the Galaxy did it to us. We could not get the ball to Now, obviously, Messi magic. He ended up getting a miracle late goal in like the 92nd minute or whatever it was to pull out a point. But keeping the ball away from Messi usually works well, because he's not going to track back to his own half to pick it up. So the high press does work very well, and that's what worries me. But the Red Bulls didn't use that strategy necessarily last game. No. They played that mid block. They played for the counter. And our midfield is Redondo's out. Gomez is out. So, I mean, we're kind of stuck into the same midfield that we did that lost us the game last, because I felt like we lost the game in the midfield last time we played. And we have the same midfield. Now, obviously, with Messi, he he demands a little more attention. So I think that things might be slightly different. But yeah, I mean, I don't feel necessarily the most confident in the world with the midfield that we're going into with this game.
Well, and the fact of the matter is that they're good at countering, or they've shown that they've been very good at countering, and they're good, like very well known in the high press. So like this has the potential of being a pretty dangerous game.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Bulls are on a run of playing the league's top teams seemingly all season, right? And iron sharpens iron. I mean, the one loss that this team had was to Columbus. They're unbeaten in six. It's two wins and four draws. They beat Miami. They drew Orlando. They won at Cincinnati, which not many people do in this day and age. They played LAFC to a 2-2 draw and had the lead in injury time in that match. And then, you know, they drew Vancouver at home this weekend, and don't sleep on the Whitecaps. They're a very strong team. So for us, for Red Bull fans, they're just like, can we have some tin cans, please? Like, finally, next week we have the Revs, and Red Bull fans are just like, it seemingly every game over the last 2 months have been against contenders in either the Eastern West or Conference. And so this is kind of the end of kind of phase one of the season. They've also, I think they've played three fewer home games than road games after this week. So the schedule makers didn't do New York any favors, but again, 4-1-5, I think Red Bull fans have been overjoyed with what they've seen so far. The last three games, you know, probably should have been at least one win out of those three draws. But yeah. I mean, by and large, there's very little to complain about here.
Well, what exactly has changed since last year? Because last year you ended the year with a negative goal differential.
Yeah, there are two main reasons. And one of them is Lewis Morgan, who you know very well. And the other is Emil Forsberg. And I guess the third is Sandra Schwartz. And so, I mean, we were hoping that Morgan would be a fraction of what he was in 2022 when he led the team with 14 goals. He's halfway there already, and we're in week 11. So yeah, he's been energized. Dante Van Zier, who came off a really, really tough year last year, so many reasons, has a goal and six assists, including four assists against you guys in the win up at Red Bull Arena. And then Emil Forsberg he is kind of really in the Henri role model, and stay put when I say this, in that he's 32. He's the same age as Henri when he came to the league. All he wants to do is win. I mean, he's obviously not as prolific a goal scorer as Henri was, but he is absolutely taken the mantle of leadership, and he's taken a very young team, because Red Bull always has very young teams, and he is he's leading by example. Two goals and three assists so far. So, I mean, it's like two brand new players. One of them surely new, the other returning from injury in unbelievable form. Morgan broke a three-game skid with a lovely goal off a set piece last week. And that's another reason for Red Bulls to feel pretty confident. The last three goals they've scored have been on set pieces. And we know that it is it's not exactly Miami's strength defending them.
Definitely a weakness of ours.
Before you bring up your next thing here, Danny, we got a lot of problems with guys with Berg at the end of their last name. We got Schaffelberg in Nashville. We got Forsberg in New Jersey. Like, we got some icebergs coming through. And Forsberg, I can see him that he's going to be a little problematic. But one point I wanted to make, because you had mentioned how tough the schedule has been recently.
Yeah.
You guys got yourselves a little bit of a cupcake, a little bit of a cupcake thing coming up, because you guys got some pretty cupcakey teams. So yeah, I think at some point, I mean, the fact that you guys are sitting third right now with the kind of schedule that you had is pretty upstanding for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Revs at DC, which will be an emotional game because of Troy. Then we have at City, and City's kind of getting off the mat a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then home for Charlotte, home for Orlando, and then at the Revs. I mean, it's 1, 2, 3, 4,
and
five,
then Nashville, which sucks also.
And then Nashville. Yeah. I mean, that could be 15 points right there. So, you know, I'm not saying that the Red Bulls are looking past Miami at all. They're not. They are up for this challenge. They understand there are going to be a lot of eyes on this game. It's a big weekend for you guys, right? It's F1 weekend as well. A couple of the players actually are staying, and they're going to be with Red Bull at the race on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of fun. So yeah, no, it's their team is excited for this. They see this as kind of really kind of validating them as one of the Eastern Conference's best teams.
Yeah.
Does it worry you at all that they've drawn so much though? Because they haven't necessarily won games. They've been drawing a lot. Like I was looking, and Vancouver draw, LAFC draw, Chicago draw, Orlando draw. Even though that Orlando one, there was an own goal late, I believe.
Yeah, there was an own goal in injury time late against the Fire. We hit the post twice in 5 seconds in injury time. At LAFC, we hit the crossbar in the 98th minute. And against Vancouver, we went down. The young center back, Noah Ayla, had a dog, so you may have seen
him. He won't be playing this weekend.
He won't be playing, right? He lifted his hand up to prevent a goal-scoring opportunity. And, you know, frankly, it turned out to be the right move because if the ball had fallen to Ryan Gold, most likely Red Bulls go down. And so I know a lot of folks were kind of giving Ayla a bunch of crap. He's 20 years old. But in retrospect, it was the right deal. And New York still had chances to win that game after they went down a man. So, yeah, I mean, game of inches, and we've been a little hamstrung late. You know, one of the other stats that, you know, on your side that I think you guys feel good about is how many goals you score late, right? Leading the league in goals scored after the 75th minute.
We scored seven goals in the last 7 minutes of games.
Yeah. And New York, you know, they let Denny Bouanga have one in the 96th. Deflected off a defender. Like, it's been a little wacky. So, you know, for New York to come in to go up 1-2 or even 3 early, I wouldn't even count them out because I know Miami is such a strong second half team. But it doesn't concern me. You know, a lot of fans are kind of a little grumbly. It's like, look, this team has spent the last 5 years really wandering in the desert, like just in the middle of the pack, right? The only time they were above the line in all of 2023 was in the last minute of the season after getting that late penalty kick at Nashville, right? From 2013 to 2018, boys, this team won the Shield 3 times, right? Like the last 5 years have just really been, although the team has made the playoffs, they've not been a threat to win, right? They were kind of a second tier team, and I would much rather have them work through these issues early than try to struggle with these down the stretch. Still a lot of young players. I'm not concerned. And if they get out and get drilled 4-1 on Saturday, I'm still not concerned because they have a lot to go, and we won't see you guys again unless it's League's Cup or in the playoffs. And so, you know, I mean, to be done with this season series before Mother's Day is just kind of weird to me, right? Like, just kind of it's just kind of strange.
Scheduling is terrible.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And then as far as defensively, you guys have allowed only 10 goals all year. The team that's allowed the least is a four-way tie with 9 goals against between Atlanta, Columbus, Cincy, and Salt Lake. So you guys aren't allowing goals very much. I mean, you're not scoring a lot, but you're not allowing goals either.
Yeah, I mean we're doing okay scoring. I mean we're not pumping unless we're playing you guys. Then we have no problem scoring. But you know, we consider that 3 of those 10 goals conceded were in the match at Columbus where they just were outmatched from the first minute and they didn't get it right. And Schwartz was very upfront about saying, "Yeah, that's on me." It was their third or 4 games away, and you know, Columbus is a real deal. They're really exciting to watch. I enjoy watching them. They're fun. But nevertheless, and that starts with Coronel, who's one of the league's best goalkeepers. It starts with Sean Nealis, and this week Andres Reyes, who
is he healthy again?
He is healthy. He had been suspended. He threw an elbow in the Chicago match.
Oh, that's right. That was a nasty elbow. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, he's 20. He turns 24 this year. Like,
you know, he played for us. I remember.
Yeah. And at a certain point, you're like, is this it? Like, does it get better? I know center backs take a little longer to mature. And then on the wings, you've got John Tolkien, who's a known quantity. And you've got Dylan Nealis has taken the job away from Kyle Duncan on the right. And then in front of them, you've got Danny Edelman, who's an absolute pit bull. There's a little Miami reference for you. And then and then Frankie Amaya next to him. So, yeah, I mean, they're a solid defensive team. They are. They've been a little snake bit with some of the goals they've given up late. Ryan White had a really lovely backheel against them in Vancouver. Yeah. And, you know, they conceded a penalty against LAFC and then won in the 92nd minute. So 96th minute, something ridiculous like that. So,
well, and Vancouver, let me tell you, they're not a pushover. They've been a solid team this year.
Yeah. Good attacking team. And we felt really good about holding them to one goal. And then there was an instance in the first half, they could have gone up 2-0, and Coronel Stone, Brian White on a breakaway, like just grabbed it right away, right off his foot. It was really, it was great. So, yeah, I mean, it's a strong unit. It's a strong unit. They just have to fine tune the finishing, and they're going to be truly, truly dangerous.
So the strongest part of this team used to be the pressure that they used to put on teams, right? Yeah. Teams couldn't handle, especially since they were able to do it for 90 minutes strong. This season, are they doing it like that? Are they just pressing all game long, or have they switched it up? Like, what is the strength this year?
Yeah, I mean, the strength certainly is Morgan, for sure. Frankie Amaya is in the top five in the league and balls into the attacking third. What else? Yeah, I mean, they as we saw against you guys, they don't have to press to be successful. That's what's different. They can set up in that mid block. They can play a counter-attacking game, or they can dial up the press to 11 and push you guys all the way back to your own goal line and make you give it up, you know, feet from goal. So yeah, it's a refreshing change, and it's a lot more fun to watch, let me tell you that, than turning every game into a car crash, because that's not so fun after a while.
Well, and it makes you guys very versatile in that sense. So it's not like this one trick pony where it's like, we're going to high press you all game. The fact that you guys can have different sort of angles into your attack and in your system, that's a pretty scary thing. Like, I was going to mention something before Danny had left. And I guess
was
I'll talk
something
it over.
I said.
No. One thing I wanted to mention is that, like you mentioned, we've only played each other. We're going to be coming up to playing against each other again in such a quick space, and we won't be seeing each other until either League's Cup or playoffs.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, and now that Danny's here, and I'll toss it over to you, Danny, first. The fact of the matter is that by the time we see them in League's Cup or playoffs, it's going to be pretty problematic, because they're going to be able to sort of stock up and get their things running and gunning. No, Danny?
I think they're already there, no? I missed Mark's answer when I asked about the strength. Yeah, obviously now the worry is, you know, by that time, who have we added, and how are things? Because, you know, Miami and Messi just keep adding, especially when the summer comes and the other leagues are done. They're just going to keep adding players. So who knows what we're looking like.
For a happy meal.
Right. So,
yeah, and we're talking about signing a DP9 as well over the summer.
Oh, nice.
That's what the fans are really hoping for. So, yeah, we just talked briefly about the versatility in terms of the play is really their strength, right? They can press, but
that's
they don't
what
have
I saw
to.
Against
they,
us. Right.
They can possess, they can counter, they can change based on what the game gives them.
Yeah. All right. So going into this week on Saturday, into this game on Saturday, if you had you had money on the game, and your money was on Inter Miami, and you were going to go help yourself win. So you went over to Tata, and you said, Tata, listen to me.
Yeah.
This is how you beat the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Escúchame. How do you beat this is how you beat the Red Bulls. What would you say? What should the Miami be looking to do to beat the Red Bulls this weekend?
Yeah. So pulling Reyes out, I think, would be really, really successful for Miami to do. Bait him to come out, because he has proven that he doesn't always track. And so that would be number one, would be to get Reyes out of
space.
Way. Yeah, yeah. You know, and then the other is, you know, how do you beat New York traditionally, which is when they are pressing, is diagonal balls across the formation, right?
Right.
to catch them up. When New York is pressed up and you, given Miami's kind of lack of speed, you may see the two center backs on the circle, right? And on the center circle, right? So if in fact you can get that diagonal switch into space, that can be successful for them. And then as you guys have been successful all year late, New York seemingly has been unable to close out games. So how to beat the Red Bulls, just play Messi and it's done. Ha ha hee hee. Yep, that's it. There's no need for analysis at all. Just put him on and give him the ball. What are we even doing here? Give him the cup now. Whee! Stay healthy.
That's a great response. That is great. Because we deal with that all the time. We deal with that all the time. So welcome. Welcome to our world.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, I mean, look.
We are breathing Messi's air.
Yeah. Look, I don't even know what to say. I've gotten trashed so much about hating Messi.
Let's not.
I don't even feel like going down that road. I can get trashed again. All right. So as far as predictions go on Saturday, before we get into the predictions, is there anybody that you think will or won't be playing that would make a difference?
Well, I mean, Peter Shroud is out for long-term injury with a broken ankle that he broke in the Chicago game. And it's a real shame because he's a homegrown player that really had a lot of bite. So New York is going to miss him. Noah Ayla is suspended, young center back who's really good distributing. I mean, really, really good line-breaking passes from the back line, can go, you know, right through the formation. So who else? I mean, I think that's it. New York needs Dante Van Zier to get a little more involved. He's been kind of drifting out towards the corner over the last few games and not being super effective. We need him to score goals. It can't just be Lewis Morgan, who continues to want to kind of, I think, lay the lumber back on his former team for letting him go, right? I mean, he's not going to say it, but I think he, you know, feels like, I was a part of the start of this team and you guys sold me and shame on you. So that's, I think he will have, I mean, not that anyone needs any extra motivation. They're professional athletes, but I think after his performance, you know, the hat trick against you guys, he wants to continue making his name here. And listen, as I said, everyone knows it's a big stage, a big weekend in Miami, right? Like big audience for this game. And, you know, New York has a chance to prove that they're a big team in this league again. And getting a result here would be a big go a long, long way.
All right. So I guess it's prediction. Well, before prediction time, Chris, who do you think starts this weekend?
Well, let me look at the starting lineup for the last game that we had, because I think it's essentially going to be the same thing. Let me just bring this up here real quick. I believe this is the starting lineup from last week. The only difference that I could see happening here is that Campana obviously is not starting, right? Campana's not starting. Right. That's Suarez. You have, other than that, you're also going to have Negri and Ruiz. They're going to hold down those spots. I think the only person that's actually going to be swapped out of here is Campana for Luis Suarez. That's the only change that I see happening, because Matias Rojas, who just got picked up, I don't think that he's going to be starting. I mean, do you potentially see him starting in the midfield over Ruiz? I don't think so. So that's what I think is going to happen as far as the starting lineup is concerned. Campana changed to Suarez, and that's the way it's going to fire off. I think that Ruiz is an amazing player to be able to start, because he gives you that sort of spark from the beginning of the game. So that's the way I would keep it.
God, Suarez was having such a good time in New Jersey in the rain, wasn't he? God, he looked so miserable. It was just, he was like looking around to someone to make eye contact with, like, we really doing this? Okay, I guess we got
to start the game. He looked extremely miserable.
Yeah, it was extremely awesome.
And you could hear my son. That's why I keep going off the screen. My son's going crazy in the background. I think that we're going to play a 4-3-3. Chris, do you think we'll play a 4-3-3?
I think it's going to be 4-3-3. I think that Tata's found it with Weigand.
Now, the thing is, I think it's going to be a 4-3-3, but I think it's almost going to look like five in the back because I think Busquets is going to play so far back to help ease that pressure. Because when we have Aviles and Freire, they are not necessarily the best guys on the ball, and they constantly turn the ball over. And I think we've had a little more success playing out of the back when Busquets is out there as like a third center back almost. He plays that deep back there, and I think we're going to see that a lot. Now, I think that that might affect us as far as pushing the ball forward, but I mean, if the Red Bulls are playing a high press, I think it'll assist with that. If they're playing that mid-block, I mean, if they do it the way they did it last time, unless Messi can get a lot of movement going and maybe move some defenders, I think we're going to have some issues in the midfield. I think we are, because same way we did last time. That's why Luis Suarez was miserable because of the rain, because of the cold, and because he never saw the ball.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because of the fact that they couldn't get it past the midfield line. So, all right. So I guess prediction time. And if you want, I'll start. We usually go with our guests first, but we'll leave Mark for last. So let me start. I said before the season started that the Red Bulls are the only team that I'm always going to predict us to lose against. And then I changed that prior to last game because the Red Bulls had so many players out. I thought, you know what? They're going to be so undermanned. I think we have a chance, and I predicted a win. Obviously, I was wrong. I should have gone with my gut originally. Now, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go against my gut because I think the fact that we lost 4-0, I think that all these players have – like Suarez was on the pitch when that happened. Alba was on the pitch. Busquets was – like these players was on the pitch when it happened, and Messi was watching also. I think they have that in them, and they want to beat this team because of that. And because of that, I think they're going to come out with a little more motivation than they would on any other regular season game. And because of that, I think we'll get a, I'll say, 2-1 victory. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy. As much as they want to win, I don't think it's going to be anything insane. But we are a good home team. I'm going to say 2-1 into Miami. Chris, what do you think?
You know, I'm going to go with the same score. And according to Soccer Daddy, it's time for redemption. So that's what I'm going to go ahead and say is I'm going to say it's going to be 2-1. I don't think it's going to be I don't know. I have no idea. I think it's going to be 2-1. I don't think that we're going to destroy them. I don't think it's going to be like a 4-5 goal blast. So I think it's going to be 2-1, Danny. We're taking the dub. What about you, Mark? Right. Hit us with the prediction.
Here it comes. I think this is going to be a goal fest. I think New York's going to get a lot of goals early, and Miami's going to come roaring back. I could see a 3-3 draw here that is going to be a great advertisement for the league. I see New York, unless something changes, unable to get to the finish line once again. The question is Messi? I mean, when he plays, does he go the whole game, or is he usually off?
He never comes out.
Never comes out. Okay, always. So I can absolutely see him with a late equalizer. So I'm going to call it 3-3, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll be kind of a shame that we won't see you guys till the playoffs, but so be it.
I don't know. Trying to get out of the back is going to be so difficult. Or even getting to the mid, because the thing is, if we would have had Redondo or Gomez or both, I'd feel so much better. Because I felt like that was outside of the obvious Messi. I felt like that was the strength of our team, Gomez and Redondo with Busquets. Once we lost both of those guys, it's tough sledding. And if I thought that Kremaki might actually start over Gressel, but that's not happening either. We're gonna have Gressel, and Gressel is let me use my nice words. He's not what I thought he would be.
Yes.
So, he's got a lot of miles on the odometer. So,
For sure. All right. Chris,
Before we get to the questions, before we get to playtime, are we going to talk about this here? Because there's been a lot of flirting going on about Di Maria coming to Miami. I just want to let everyone know I've been doing a little bit of research. And so I ran into a tweet, and take this for what you will, guys. Okay. Fabrizio Romano states that Inter Miami only asked for Angel Di Maria's situation at Benfica. Angel Di Maria. So they're just asking about, hey, what's up? That's it. There's no paperwork. There's
Fabrizio
no signing.
Also said that Messi had agreed to stay with PSG back in December of 2022. Take and everybody that for reported what you will, guys. Official. Soccer is Take by that. Far the worst reported upon sport in the world. So many false.
But things. You know what?
How many years has Mbappe signed with Real Madrid? Every year it seems like he's going to Real Madrid. Like it's don't pay attention to any of that stuff. It's silly.
If you guys want to follow that rabbit hole and eat the crumbs on the way to a shitstorm, then so be it. But take it for what you will, guys.
All right.
At this point, we're going to have Iron Man and Captain America signing with us too.
I leave it to you. Well,
all right. I'm
so sick of signing. Like, I don't mind the good play, but God, these guys are so old. At least get somebody in their early 30s.
Go ahead, Chris. The Red Bulls roster, even with Forsberg, is like the average age is like a shade under 24.
Wow.
Because that's what they do.
But you know what? I don't think we're that high up there either, because a lot of our guys are also young. It's right. just that our,
they just
our
don't like, play.
Top right, our top five or six are like of really like old.
30 something. And they're soccer like, old.
Yeah. But like outside of those top six, the majority of our guys are like under 23. Like it's wild.
So let's get to my shenanigans, Danny. And I don't remember if Mark answered the question of the shopping cart, but I'll remind him, see if he remembers. Did you remember this picture by any chance, Mark?
I don't have – I mean, I know what that image is, but I don't get the reference.
Yes. So when I go shopping for groceries, I pull my shopping cart.
Okay. You pull
it. But a lot of – Yes, I pull it. But a lot of people who are weird to me push the shopping cart.
You pull it from behind?
I pull it from the front.
Like, oh, I see. I see what you're doing. Okay, yeah.
So are you a puller? Or, I mean, you're kind of answering the question, Mark. It's already done.
I don't get – I mean, I understand why you're doing what you're doing, but all the better to move the other shoppers out of the way by pushing the cart. What are we doing here?
So
do you get the toilet paper from the underside too? What is happening?
No. You look like
it has to be over, right? Toilet paper has to be over.
What are we doing, guys? Come on.
So you're talking about folded, Danny. Over or under?
It's got to go over. The toilet paper has to go over.
Absolutely. Okay. You know what, Mark? You just gave us a question to ask from now on. That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal.
Here for the content, guys.
And then I'm just going to blast this here and see if we're going to flirt with this.
All right.
So back in the late 90s, 2000s, we're talking about in the prime of boy bands. Okay. Which boy band is better, Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
Well, here's the thing. When you look at the entire body of work by these guys, you have to put Timberlake on it. I understand, but like the overall quality of the guy's career, like Timberlake's career is better than the other nine guys combined. 100%. So for that reason, I'm going with NSYNC because he can do it all, right? He's an entertainer. He was great on SNL. I was too old for those boy bands. When I was of that age, it was New Kids on the Block. Ooh, that was Hanging Tough. So that was kind of the world that I lived in, if you would.
Donnie Wahlberg.
And then I went to college in Boston, so it was everywhere. It was really it was rough, but I'm going NSYNC.
But I want to point out his explanation what centered around Justin Timberlake, and I explained to Chris, if somebody chooses NSYNC, it's going to be centered around Justin Timberlake.
That's it.
All right, Mark, we appreciate you joining us again and being such a gracious host to put up with our shenanigans. As always, very informative. And let's let everybody know where they can find you if they want to hear a little bit more about the Red Bulls.
Yeah, so our show is called Seeing Red. We've been at it since 2010. You can find us on just about every platform under the handle at Seeing Red NY, not to be confused with a St. Louis Cardinals baseball pod. I'm Mark Fishkin on your screen and also Mark Fishkin on Twitter. which I refuse to change, recall anything else. And guys, keep up the good work, and great to talk to you, and enjoy the game on Saturday.
For sure. Any chance that you're making it down here?
Zero chance. I'm going to be in New Orleans for Jazz Fest this weekend. That's what I'm doing. Great. Nice. One of the best 3-day weekends in America. It's awesome.
I've never been to New Orleans.
Oh, brother. You got to go, man.
I heard the French Quarter is amazing.
The whole city is amazing. I mean, the French Quarter is a vibe. You got to go during the daytime, and then at nighttime, it's like a completely different experience. But it's great. It's great music, great food, great atmosphere. So that's what I'm doing. So I'll have the game highlights fed to me, but enjoy it.
And for those of you that want to talk some Marlins baseball, Branton is going to be joining me at 9 o'clock, along with two other battered Marlins fans, to talk some Marlins baseball at 9 o'clock. Battered Marlins fans, so look out for that if you want to hang out with somebody at 9 o'clock. Got nothing better to do than talk some about baseball team. So join us at 9 o'clock to talk battered Marlins. All right, Mark, appreciate you joining us again. Chris, any final words?
Join the Marlins podcast and buy yourself some $3 tickets to go to a fucking game. Come on.
I you know, they sell them for $1 now. If you go on Game Time.
I mean, at this point, you might as well. I mean, you're not getting anybody out there with that product.
Look, let me tell you something. It's one hell of a deal. Like, I know Mike Trout is injured now, but the Angels came down last month. You could have gone to see one of the greatest baseball players of all time for $1. And it's so empty, they don't check for tickets. So you can literally walk down. Yeah. Sit behind home plate for $1 and watch one of the greatest baseball players of all time take at bat. Like, it's wild what they got going on here right now. Because
I've heard that if you tell them you're coming, they'll start the game whenever you want to. Be like, look, I can't make it until like 8:15. And they're like, yeah, okay, sure. You can bring three friends. Great. Done. Okay, let's go.
It's bad. It's bad. And let me tell you something. And I know this isn't a Marlins show, but just for the marketing team have really tried hard this year. I guess because they came off of their first playoff appearance in forever. Like, the marketing department really went in, and man, like, it's been rough. But they just swept their first series of the year, and we're gonna get into that in about 15 minutes at 9 o'clock. So join us for Battered Marlins if you want to, and if you want to talk Heat, Battered Heat fans at 10 o'clock. So some Battered Miami's podcast for you guys tonight. All right. So if you're listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share. Tell your friends that there's an Inter Miami podcast that has fun and doesn't take themselves so seriously. So go ahead, join in. We're a good time. And as always, for you in the chat, we appreciate you guys hanging with us for the last 45 minutes. As always, you guys are the best part of the show. And yes, Edgar Renteria, my favorite baseball player of all time. So thank you guys for joining us. And until the next one, which will be the Red Bulls post game, have a good one.